My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we're halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate you. And, bit of a doomer day. But I'm kind of used to it on Mondays. They rarely ever win on a Sunday. So this is kind of old hat for us. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And, our buddy Fritz in the chat said, the more you tell me not to worry, the more I worry. I'm not telling you not to worry. I'm telling you I'm not worried. You feel free to do what you want. This is America. You can feel any way you want. Ben, there's a big, big doomer in the chat, Ben, and he gets very upset at us and me, and he wanted to blow this team up back in June, and I said the other day, I'm sure glad they didn't blow it up. You know, and we were just talking, 81 wins is exactly what I had them penciled in at. So if they lose every game for the rest of the season, I will have been dead on in my prediction.
19-game losing streak to end the year. The two they just lost.
Yeah. Oh,
so, yeah, 17 more. Yeah. The rest of the way.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess feasibly it could happen.
There was a while we thought 81 might sneak in the National League.
Yeah,
I don't think it will anymore.
We talked about that on the roundtable last week. It's not. I mean, the AL West certainly has picked up their game, and the NL West has picked up their game, and guys, teams have been playing really well. But again, you're in a good position to where you're not begging for, you know, like today, like you're not in a position where you're like, oh God, I hope the Marlins can go out and beat Paul Skeens today. You know what I mean? You're not in that position. We have to. Pittsburgh's ahead of us. No, we're not there yet. So let's just keep grinding. Try to stay positive. I know it's hard. But man, such a long season. Again, they've earned my trust immensely this season. So that's my personal philosophy is they've shown me enough to know that this team has some really special qualities about it.
By the way, the teams you are cheering for today, the Blue Jays, who host the Mets tonight, the Reds, who visit the Braves, coming off their win over the Mets yesterday, and if you want to cheer for the Cubs, they're in L.A. to take on the Dodgers, although with a six-game lead now.
Dodgers are cruising.
Dodgers are pretty much set to win the NL West at this point. That would take an epic collapse for them not to win the division with a six-game lead. Even with the three games the Padres have head-to-head, you're asking a lot to catch up 6 in 17 games
stretch. For sure. It's probably out of reach at this point, so don't worry about it.
The D-backs are off today. They will open a series against the Texas Rangers tomorrow, who have been decidedly mediocre in the defense of their World Series title, but are getting DeGrom and Scherzer back this week. So,
who
knows how they'll look, but Verlander didn't exactly look great against the Diamondbacks yesterday for the Astros.
Yeah, he got shelled. The other thing that gives me a little bit of hope is I think about last season, and I think about what the Texas Rangers did and how they essentially limped into the playoffs. Just limped into. And look what happened. I mean, they limped into it. And there was a time, I would say, if you went and pulled audio from this week's date in Ben and Woods history, there was some segment of us going, I thought Bochy had these guys ready to go. I thought that was infallible. These guys were going to make a run.
Well, remember, the Padres swept them right before the trade deadline, and things started going south. the rest of the way for the Texas Rangers. And they lost out right at the end. They were going to win the division. They lost that, had to go to the wild card series.
Yeah, dude.
They were right for a quick two games and done in the playoffs after everything we had seen in the regular season.
I mean, their bullpen was imploding on the daily, and it was just like, oh my God, they are going to choke this thing away. And well, I mean, we all know what happened. So if you want to lean on past, you know, examples, there's a pretty good one. So I'm not overly concerned at all. And in fact, I'm still very hopeful. And again, you know, there no moral victories, man. Results-based business. I don't like to lose at all. I don't like to lose by one run. I don't like to lose by 10. I hated losing that game yesterday. Hated it. But I was like, oh, hell yeah, man. Way to make it at least exciting. That's what's gotten me fired up.
Friday morning, I was feeling like this team should make the playoffs. They should win their first round. Quite frankly, this is a team that should probably be in the NLCS.
Yeah, man.
This is how they have been playing for most of the season, certainly in the second half. That doesn't change losing 2 out of 3 to the Giants.
I hated it.
I didn't like it either, but...
I didn't like, you know, I don't like
the season's
losing.
Not over.
I don't like losing to an inferior team, but you get your opportunity to rectify all of that when you go to San Francisco this weekend. And I thought, you know, I thought, man, they got Logan Webb figured out early. And then you let him settle in, and he's a good pitcher, and he did what he needed to do. So it was a rough weekend, the last two games, certainly. Friday night's game I thought was really, really special. Let me tell you what a jinx. So the jinx is reversed. So I went to the game on Thursday, as you know, right, went down and saw the most brutal loss of the season, one strike away. We had tickets for Saturday, and Hannah goes, what do you want to do? And now I had been downtown. I went downtown Thursday for the game, went downtown Friday, jumped on the DSG's podcast with them. We went bowling as a family. We had a great, great night. She goes, do you really want to come down here for the third night in a row? I go, sell them. Sell the tickets. I'm a jinx anyway. I'm not going. Well, they lost. So I think the jinx is reversed. I can go back to games.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
So that's good. But I did sell the tickets. So it was not my fault.
You know, there are only two series left at home all season long.
Yep.
So I will say, and we haven't brought it up yet, but obviously the Padres know that there is a fight for the playoffs going on. And you can tell because they announced the starting pitchers for the next 2 days against the Seattle Mariners. And they are not remaining in their normal rotation. Yu Darvish will go as expected tomorrow, but instead of Martin Perez, whose turn it would be on Wednesday, they're going to throw Michael King in that game on Wednesday. Instead of giving him another day off, which would be an extra week because there's days off on Monday and Thursday, and they could wait to pitch him on Friday again, go another full week between starts, they're going to go ahead and pitch him on 4 days rest and throw him on Wednesday to potentially get him an extra start at the end of the season if they need it. Now, they've been very careful with Michael King. He's already over his career high in innings pitched, and they've given him some extra opportunities for rest. But he continues to throw well. He threw really, really well on Friday, looked fantastic. And I think to me, this is a sign that the Padres are taking some of the shackles off Michael King and going, okay,
this is it, buddy.
Rest of the way now.
Let's roll.
We're going to be rolling with you
yep.
pretty much every fifth day because you've been one of our strongest pitchers, and we need you on the mound at this point. You've been strong. We trust that you can stay strong, and we're going to be leaning on you now in September and hopefully the postseason. So they like what they have in Michael King, and it's time for Michael King to go. At this point, and he will start on Wednesday in the second game of that series in Seattle rather than wait until Friday.
Yeah, that tells me there's a bit of a sense of urgency as well.
I agree.
So I like that, being aggressive. But, you know, they continue to play the way they've played all season long, man. I find it really hard to get super worried and bite my nails.
And there were some positive signs this weekend as well. Luis Arraez, who had been... Yeah, fine, you know, hitting 280 for a while, whatever it was. Looks like he's getting back into being that Luis Arraez, you can't get him out sort of guy, back-to-back three-hit games. I think he's hitting over 400 now over the last week or so. And to have that, you know, at the top of the lineup, just line drive after line drive, that's a nightmare for opposing pitchers. And I can't believe we've gone this long without saluting show best friend for life, Manny Machado. Tying Nate Colbert for the all-time Padres home run lead with his two-home run game on Friday night, 162 and 163. Manny gets there, a record that has stood every day of my lifetime. 1974 was when Nate Colbert hit his 163rd home run. And, you know, I was born. That was the record. It has been the record every day. And now Manny shares it. And the next time he hits a home run, he will set a new Padres all-time home run record.
I also saw that home run that tied the record. How did Jesse phrase it?
It was the same. He had hit 163 with the
one more Padres home run than he had with
the
Baltimore.
Orioles. Right. Yeah. He had 162 with the Orioles, and now he has more with the Padres.
Yep.
And he'll be remembered at the end of his career as more of a Padre than an Oriole.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. Like Dave Winfield, while he's in the Padres Hall of Fame and in the Hall of Fame as a Padre, I think most people around baseball remember him as a Yankee, not as a Padre.
Yeah, Manny's a Padre.
But Manny, I think, in the long run, will be remembered as a Padre who got his start in Baltimore.
Correct. No one will remember him with the Dodgers. No one.
I've already forgot.
I did too.
So congratulations to Manny Machado.
So weird. He was there for, what, 4 months?
Yeah, it's wild.
And by the way, his numbers at the end of the season are once again going to look very Manny Machado-like, despite the two-month slow start to begin the year. Manny Machado is now sitting at, what? How many home runs does he have?
25? 24?
Let's get the full stats for Manny Machado this year. 25, 275, 25 home runs,
pretty
90
good.
Runs batted in,
weird.
795 OPS with a two-month opening slump in which his OPS was around 600 for the first 2 months of the year. He's going to end up, you know, probably 280, 27, 28, 30
Machado.
Home runs, 100 runs batted in, all-star type numbers for Manny Machado at the end.
One of the game's most consistent players. I mean, just bar none.
Yet every single year,
we have
to go through the
he blows bubbles.
What happened to him?
Like,
hey,
right.
Of the year.
Sorry, I'm sorry he blows bubbles. Sorry he's casual. Sorry he just doesn't let the game speed
he
up.
Didn't
really.
Sprint on that ground ball to second base in April.
He's just always consistent.
Had an infield single yesterday, didn't he? Yeah.
He knows.
He knows when he needs to run hard and when it's probably pointless.
Yep.
So, congratulations to
winning
Manny Machado.
Losing the battle sometimes to win the war. That's it.
I agree.
It's something I don't do. I just always fight every battle. So I just never win the war. But I try to fight every battle very hard. It doesn't work for me.
I think it's a bit of an uncomfortable conversation. But I do want to talk about the Tyreek Hill situation just a little bit. I know it's a big story probably everywhere else.
What happened?
We don't know for sure.
That's the thing. What are we talking about until we have all the facts?
But I think in general... Well, let me talk. You know what I want to talk about? The reaction already to the Tyreek Hill situation. Because everyone's kind of jumping one side or the other. And we don't really know what happened here. But I want to talk about it. And it was the big story in the NFL yesterday. We have Sammy Levitt coming up at the bottom of the hour. So we'll do that when we come back and talk a little bit about the Tyreek Hill day and what happened yesterday in the National Football League. Lots to get to still. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Been a lot of reaction to the Tyreek Hill incident yesterday outside Hard Rock Stadium. Probably overreaction from everybody. Everyone has to have an opinion immediately on any situation that goes down involving a celebrity or a famous athlete. It's Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Quickly, this segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. You saw the video, right?
I saw two. I saw one where he was in handcuffs laying on his belly.
Belly, yeah.
And then I saw one
flat on the ground.
Then I saw one that was like through a bunch of cars, and there's a couple cops standing in the way, and I couldn't really tell what was going on, but people were like, oh my God, look at him attacking Tyreek Hill. And I go, I didn't see that necessarily. I feel like it was like a take.
There's a knee in the back.
Was there can you see him? It?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now in our stream.
You put it in the stream? Let me see.
I think the question here is, obviously, he's pulled over. Now, according to Tyreek, he was extremely cooperative with the cops, hands on the wheel, was trained to do that, yep. Did not want to do anything wrong, followed all instructions. And I think the question here is, if it was simply a traffic violation, speeding, what have you, why was it necessary to pull him out of the vehicle, handcuff him, and detain him? Now, we don't know the details of what happened. We've heard Tyreek's story and what his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, had to say yesterday. If that is simply everything that happened, he was speeding, has a fancy fast car. People who drive fast cars tend to speed a little bit, I've noticed. That does happen, and perhaps they've justifiably pulled him over. Most people, though, when they get caught for speeding, don't get pulled out of their car and handcuffed, correct? That's very rare. So why did officers go to that extent of pulling him out of the car, putting him on the ground, and handcuffing him?
I have no
in that situation
earthly idea. But he wouldn't say either. Really, after the incident, after they played, he was let go or whatever, and then went out and played a game, and then really wouldn't talk about it. Was pretty deferential after the game. He talked and he said, "Look, I support police. Like I support the police."
He said, "I want to be
because
a police
I want to be
officer.
A police officer." Yeah. Yeah, and he said, "So I'd like to work together. I'd like to use my platform for good." So he didn't come on there and rip the police either. So I don't know. I mean, something happened, I think, to get from car to ground. Something. And I don't know what that was, and I don't know if that was right, wrong, whatever. I'm not indifferent on it, but I don't know enough to speak with any educated fashion on what exactly happened. I mean, I have no idea why he ended up on his belly and ended up getting cuffed for a speeding ticket. I don't know how fast he was going. I do know if you double the speed limit, they will take you to jail. That's what I've heard for years. Like if you're going 140 in a 70, you're going to jail, dude.
It's beyond
excessive. Yeah. So I just I'm not exactly sure, what happened. So that is but listen, Tyreek Hill, he's had a billion run-ins since he's been in the NFL. So maybe he was doing the right thing in this case, but I didn't see enough in there to. I mean, they let him go and he went and played a football game.
So
after that.
if that's the case, then did he get special treatment?
Yeah, I don't know.
You see, that's what confuses me. Either they should have arrested him. He was doing something, like you said, if he was doing something so incredibly reckless that he deserved to be arrested, then either he received special treatment by being allowed to go free and go play in a football game You know, that most people that would not happen if they did something that was required booking and going down to the station. But if he didn't, and they said, you know what? Well, you didn't really do anything that bad. Then why did they take him out and handcuff him in the first place?
I have no idea.
So one way or the other, either he was afforded, you know, too much. You know, he was treated too poorly by the police officers, or maybe he was treated too well by the police officers who then let him go when they should not have done so. And there's just something fishy and suspicious about this whole situation that doesn't add up completely at this point.
Yeah, and I'm sure that. Yeah, and I think they're reviewing. Body cam and audio and all that. So I have no idea.
It was a conflicting story, though. I mean, like, I had a feel about it.
Of course,
because Tyreek Hill is not a good guy.
No, he's not.
No,
but his past also doesn't mean that if he was complying and did nothing wrong,
correct,
that he should have a knee in his back and get handcuffed in front of
everybody. It's a weird...
Like, both things are true.
Right.
But I'm like...
A weird position to be in.
Do I feel bad for him? I don't know, I guess, because we don't know what happened. If he was innocently just speeding a few, you know, 10 miles an hour over and...
Yeah, then there'd be no reason.
Joe Schmo just gets a ticket and they're on their way and he has to have six cops around him and getting handcuffed in front of all these fans.
Yeah.
That's unfair and that's not right. But it's also like, it's hard for me to just automatically give Tyreek Hill the victim card, I guess.
I know.
Because of his past.
It was. I mean, his past is not just, it's horrific.
I don't envy the job of police officers. They are absolute heroes for what they do and what they risk every single day. But to me, what that risk is that you have to treat everybody.
Yeah, you have to.
You can't treat everybody as though they are a threat.
You have to, though, don't you?
No, no, no. I think that's what makes them hero. If you treat everybody as though they're a threat, you're not a hero anymore.
But you got to be on your
toes. You got to be aware, but you have to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. That's what makes you a hero, that you treat everybody fairly under the law and that you are not, just because of the color of someone's skin or just because they're a big guy. Paulie told the story when he got put in handcuffs just sitting behind Woodstock Pizza because the officer involved, who was a female, was very small and just felt like, for my safety, I want to handcuff you and put you in the back of the car. Well, to me, that's not fair treatment for everybody. If you're a police officer, what makes you a hero is that you have to follow the law and you have to treat everybody with respect, equally under the law. And that includes Tyreek Hill being pulled over. You know, a guy maybe driving too fast, but you can't really treat anybody differently. That's what makes you're given a great deal of responsibility. What's the Superman line? With great power
comes great responsibility.
You have the power to do things the rest of us can't do. Carry weapons, drive really fast with your sirens on to protect the public. But with that power also comes an extreme responsibility not to abuse that power.
Yeah, but
I don't know that they did in this case.
But if they do, they will be held accountable, I think.
Sometimes they are, and I think sometimes they're not. And that's the issue that I think most people worry about. And I found it, you know, I have never had a bad experience with a police officer. I've had tons of good ones.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
Well, I know, but I still...
Jesus Christ.
This morning, I'm driving to work, and there was an officer that pulled up right next to me on a motorcycle. And I still get nervous. Why do I get nervous when a police officer pulls up next to me? Is that just human nature?
Yes.
Okay, now imagine being a black man.
Right.
And having a cop pull up at 5 in the morning while you're just going to work.
Right.
Yeah. A little different.
I get that.
It's a little different.
Spider-Man, not Superman. Great power comes great responsibility.
I got that right.
But anyway, I mean, I have utmost respect for those heroes that I couldn't do it. I know that I get nervous too
when I get pulled over. And I usually know why I get pulled over and I still get nervous. But you know what I don't? Like, think about
the
safety of, like, my life.
I'm not going to get dragged out of the car.
Yeah,
I know that.
100%.
You know what I mean? Somebody said in the chat, man, I've been pulled over for speeding 100 times. Never once have I been taken from the car. You know? So, yeah, more will come out about it, certainly, for sure.
Well, anyway, Tyreek Hill went on and had 130 yards and a touchdown.
Sure
was the difference in that game. By the way, that game, Jacksonville going to kick themselves. Did you see what happened? They were 17-7.
I missed that one.
Etienne was going in for the ceiling touchdown. They were going to go up 24-7. I think it was right around the end of the third quarter. And he fumbled, knocked it out at the 2. He's recovered, put it at the 20. Next play, Tyreek Hill, 80-yard touchdown. They're back within 3. Then they kick the field goal, tie it, and kick the field goal to win it at the end. That game was 1 yard from being over when Etienne fumbled, and they were about to go up 24-7.
Oh.
And that was a tough loss for the Jacksonville Jaguars and a big come-from-behind win that they probably don't get without Tyreek Hill as an option and with that big play that he made. That was a huge one for the Miami Dolphins.
All right, coming up next, we'll tell you who we're voting for in November. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
And Sammy Levitt, too. I'll vote for Sammy Levitt. Next on The Fan.
Spending all that time talking about the Tyreek Hill situation when we could have been and really should have been talking about the man walking around in a thong at Petco Park with a walker.
I wonder if Sammy Levitt saw him.
That's what I was going to ask Sammy Levitt. Did you happen to catch this guy? He is in a full-on...
That's not Photoshop.
No, it's not AI.
I'll just ask the question. Has anybody seen this guy and Sam Levitt
in the same room
at the same time?
It's true.
I don't know.
So, yeah, the picture that you just showed me clearly was Petco Park. Now, was it dated? Was it this,
I think it was this weekend
when it was hot? And it was an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're assuming he's older. He has a walker.
He was walking around with a walker.
And
you could sort of tell from his body that he was older simply because he wasn't wearing any clothes other than...
Why do you say that? His body looks a lot like mine with my clothes off. And probably yours.
A little more wrinkly, I thought.
I don't see a lot of wrinkles. He's
Paulie's putting it on.
Oh,
you're right. It's not that wrinkly.
It's not that wrinkly, but
his hair doesn't look that gray. Maybe he's a middle-aged gentleman.
Mm. But for whatever reason, he has a walker, and he's walking around Petco Park in section 135. The Callaway home run deck.
Do you think he lost his fantasy football?
Maybe. That's what I thought of, too. That's what I thought of.
You need to go to Petco Park with a walker wearing only a thong.
So he clearly... I would imagine came in with other clothes on because no one's going to let him in the door like that.
What's the dress code?
Is he violating
shorts and a t-shirt?
I mean, people take their shirts off at baseball games all the time, and they don't get.
He's
ejected.
Covering the areas that need to
and
be covered.
People are wearing shorts at baseball. Games.
I wouldn't.
They're
do
not
it.
Wearing bikinis though.
Right. How much coverage do you need to have?
If that's he was just good coverage.
A full Speedo, is that enough? I mean, what is
no,
the minimum?
No, the answer is no. Not enough.
What if you're wearing just like regular like short shorts and no shirt?
They're not letting you in the door. So he had to have had clothes on that he's removed.
So you have to have your shirt on to get into Petco Park?
Correct. You have to.
Is that a requirement?
But you're allowed to take
it off immediately upon entering the park.
I would bet $100 you have to have shirt and shoes to get in the door. Shirt and shorts and shoes at a minimum.
Like a restaurant.
Like
no
a restaurant.
Shirt, no
like
shoes,
a friggin'
no service.
7-Eleven.
No baseball game.
Right.
But Sammy. You can take them all off once you get in.
Apparently. Unless security sees you and says, buddy, you can't be walking around in a thong. You got to get the hell out of here. That's what we should have been talking about.
Right. But then do you have to go to everybody in the stands and check to make sure that they're appropriately dressed?
I think it's just a case-by-case basis. But
I don't know.
This guy's walking around in a... I mean, it is wedged. It's a thong. It's right there.
I don't see anything on... Petco Park entry policies
about their clothing. Dress code.
Yeah.
Put in Petco Park dress code.
That's what I did.
You did.
Hmm.
All right.
We'll see what Sammy's experience is. That Padres pre and post game show host
be.
Sam Levitt joins us after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, let's go out and joined by Sam Levitt, who is our EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show and postgame show host, was at the steamy Petco Park over the weekend for the series against the San Francisco Giants, and we'll be back in action tomorrow as the Padres hit the road to take on the Seattle Mariners. Sam Levitt, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I was told I wouldn't need air conditioning in Pacific Beach.
Yeah.
Apparently, that
myth
was not all the way correct.
No,
it's been very, very steamy here in PB.
Yeah, I got told that when I moved here, too. Oh, you live by the coast, you'll be fine. I'm not, in fact, fine, Sammy, and I'm sure you're not either.
By the way, I heard the conversation about what apparently was going on at Petco Park.
You missed it.
Yesterday. I did not see that gentleman, so I missed it. I did see a couple of people, you know, with their shirt off, I guess working on their tan at the ball game. But, you know, it is interesting as somebody who, you know, didn't grow up here but has now lived here for, you know, 2.5 years or so. I don't know. Does San Diego, like, is no shirt, no shoes, no service? Does that actually exist here? Because I'll tell you, you walk around PB on a day like this, you'll see a lot of, you know, people running, you know, shirts off and shoes off, and, you know, you never know what you're going to see. So I feel like the rules are different here, maybe.
Well, and I've got the code of conduct here. The San Diego Padres and its contracted service partners are committed to ensuring a safe, comfortable, and enjoyable ballpark experience for all guests. Team members will be proactive to ensure the following. The progress of the game or event is not disrupted by guests' actions or by unauthorized persons accessing the playing field or restricted areas. Inappropriate or indecent clothing does not detract from the guest experience. So that's to security. Security needs to be on the lookout. You can't walk around in a thong at Petco Park.
I thought that's subjective.
It shouldn't be. I think that is.
He didn't look like he was trying to be disruptive.
Looks like he was waiting in line to go to the bathroom.
It just looked like he might have been really, really hot.
You have to be so hot to strip down to your thong
at a baseball game.
At a baseball game.
True.
If you're listening, sir, 833-288-0973. I'd like to talk to you. It is not calling. All right. Well, we tried. We tried. Sammy, that was a crap couple games out there at Petco Park.
Yeah, it was a weird couple of days, right? I mean, yesterday Joe is cruising. I mean, Joe looks so good the first 10 batters. He's 10 up, 10 down. He struck out 6 through 3 innings and 1/3, and then the fly ball that gets lost in the sun, and it just totally changed, and he ends up giving up 7 consecutive hits, including that sun ball to right field. So, that was weird. And then you had obviously the number 9 hitter for the Giants on Saturday hitting 2 home runs and essentially bringing in all 6 runs the Giants scored. Of course, you had on Thursday against the Tigers, Suarez giving up the grand slam. It was sort of a weird few days in the sense that, you know, you had the number 9 hitter doing damage. You had sort of the weird outing that Joe had yesterday. I suppose that the positive, the silver lining from, you know, I would say both games Saturday and Sunday against the Giants was this. I mean, you sort of saw the same team, right? I mean, nothing led you to believe that the Padres are in some sort of malaise, because you saw them come back and get really close to winning that game yesterday. And, you know, who knows if McCray doesn't hit the second home run on Saturday and Tatis leads off with a double in the bottom half of the 9th inning, maybe the Padres tie and win that game. So it was a weird and, I think, frustrating few days. And when you look at it and you consider that, you know, they won the first 2 games of the homestand and then only won one of, you know, the final 4 games of the homestand. Frustrating. And when you're playing teams that are hovering around 500 and things are as close as they are. But I did think the silver lining the last couple of days was, you know, they did show the same sort of stuff that we've seen for a while and almost came back to win. But look, when you're playing from behind as much as, you know, they seemingly are sometimes, you're not always going to be able to climb the mountain. And unfortunately, the last couple of days they weren't.
Sammy, can you tell us what you were hearing about Ha-Sung Kim yesterday and what you think the Padres are going to do now at shortstop going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously wasn't a great update on Kim yesterday, and it doesn't sound like he's particularly close to returning, or that, you know, the throws on Saturday went great as he was trying to, you know, work it out and test things out and throw across the diamond. I mean, from what Mike Schilt said yesterday, that doesn't seem like he's particularly close. Now, I know you guys talked about it earlier. I don't know the extent of you know, how long it will be. Is it something that he's going to be back from in still a couple of weeks and there's that possibility? Or are we looking at something even longer than that? You know, it didn't seem like when he first went out that it would be all that long. But, you know, we're going on whatever it is now, a few weeks. And then obviously it leads us directly into the conversation about Xander Bogaerts. And you know, I think yesterday, certainly when you saw Bogaerts move over to shortstop in the sixth inning after they have Solano pinch hit for McCoy early in the fifth, I think you start thinking that way. And then you hear what Xander has to say after the game about, you know, getting Solano in the lineup. And I think you could tell maybe a bit of a more understanding Xander Bogaerts, you know, probably on two fronts, that Kim's going to be out for a bit longer at least. And this is not something that's going to get resolved quickly with Kim. And also the fact that they are just a better lineup day to day with Solano and or Peralta in there. And there is a necessity right now to get those guys in the lineup. You know, I thought you guys made a good point earlier. If the Padres were six games up on a playoff spot, you know, maybe it's a different conversation. Maybe you can have a Mason McCoy go out there, play really good defense, even if you're not getting a ton with his bat. But that's not the situation. Everybody's within two games of one another, and this thing is a long way from over. The Padres got to keep winning games and getting their best lineup out there day in, day out. And I think pretty clearly that's with Xander at shortstop. And obviously he's the most logical candidate to go over there if somebody needs to play there now for an extended stretch. You know, Mike Schultz said it yesterday that when he went over there in the sixth inning, you know, it was easing Bogey back into the possibility of that. And you sort of heard that from Bogaerts. I thought at least, you know, more of an understanding. I get it from Xander's perspective. You know, he did what they wanted him to do in spring training, go over to second base. To his credit, he's turned himself into what I think is a really good defensive second baseman. I got the trepidation of moving back there if it was going to be just a short-term solution with Kim out, but it doesn't appear to be, you know, something that is necessarily short-term. So right now, you know, even if it's not for the rest of the games in 2024, however long that is, you know, I think it certainly seems like we're starting to lean that way, and I'm very interested to see tomorrow what the lineup looks like and if we see the shortstop, because, you know, based on what happened yesterday and what was said, it would seem like that would become a pretty distinct possibility.
It's wild talking to Sammy Leavitt this morning, because Sammy, I think, you know, in our job, I need to have a really firm stance on it. And my firm stance is that I literally see both sides of this story. 100% see Xander's point about you guys just asked me to do this. You just asked me to do this. And now you want me back. So I get that point, but I also see the other side of, hey man, we got 17 games to go. Doesn't look like Kimmy's coming back. We need you, and we pay you a ton. And what I don't want to happen to Xander is him be vilified. You know, he did what they asked him to do. My question is also, like, there's no guarantee. I know how much Mike Schilt values defense. I know he does.
Yeah.
He talks about it all the time. Xander at short, Solano at first, and Jake at second is objectively a worse defense than McCoy, Xander,
right,
and Cronenworth at first. Like, it's worse.
It is.
It's worse. So, is there the potential for this to be a part-time thing? And if you're Xander Bogaerts, are you like, oh my God, am I really going to be moving over there in the sixth every game? It makes it hard to prepare. So I think they backed themselves into a little bit of a corner here.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously Arise can also play first base too. You know, look, it would seem though, you know, to your point, like as long as Kim is out, you know, unless you value the defense, you know, more than the offense with McCoy there, it would seem like Xander would have to play over there almost every day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are your other options? So, look, I'm with you. I think it's very easy for people to look at it and say,
just move.
Hey, hey, just move. It's for the best of the team. Look, things are not as simple as that. And to Xander's credit, look, he did what they asked him to do. And I understood it when it looked like Kim was only going to be out for maybe, let's say, the 10 days of the IL stint. And by the way, they had a little bit more of a cushion in the wild card race, not a ton more, but a little bit more, I think, at that time, if I go back and look at what the standings were, or it at least felt like that. you know, I understood it of, hey, we can deal with McCoy at shortstop. Whatever he gives you offensively is great. We think he can play there defensively. Look, I understood it at the time, but look, I think we're all starting to see it, us and Xander, and it sounded like the Padres yesterday from what Mike Schultz said, that, yeah, I mean, long term here, maybe even the rest of the year, depending on the status of Kim, we'll see. It seems like something that probably has to happen for your lineup day in, day out. And look, I get it, you know, from Xander's perspective initially. I do. I know it's easy for people to look at it and say, hey, just do whatever your team needs. These things aren't as, you know, always straightforward as that. And, you know, look, I don't know how he would feel about going back and forth between short and second, but we'll see, right? I mean, I think we're going to find out the answer probably in the next few days if we see Xander start, you know, playing at shortstop, in a starting lineup. So we're going to find out here pretty soon, I think.
Tammy, have a good couple of days. Enjoy the rest of the day off. And then Mariners tomorrow. That's a 6:40 start, 5:40 yeah. Eco Water SoCal pregame show tomorrow. Yu Darvish on the mound. And who's tomorrow for the I wrote it down.
Kirby.
Here. George Kirby tomorrow for the
Kirby
Mariners.
And
then Brian Wu against Michael King, who's moving up a spot in the rotation to pitch on Wednesday in that two-game series. We will hear from you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Sam Levitt. Sam Levitt, our pre- and post-game show host. You know, the one guy we haven't really mentioned in the show today, I think briefly brought it up, but Jackson Merrill took that foul ball off the knee on Friday. And he has done so much this year. Obviously, that's one of those moments you go, oh, no, how serious is this going to be? And I'm sure it was paining him. But he came back and pinch hit on Saturday and then was back in the lineup and hit the home run yesterday. We've learned what about Jackson Merrill so far this year. He is adaptable, moved positions, learned it quickly.
But he likes to try shortstop.
Confident. He is energetic.
Has he ever played shortstop before?
And now, he is remarkably talented, great bat-to-ball skill. He has a power element to his game. He's speedy. We have now learned he is also tough.
Tough!
He's got toughness as well. I mean, he has been the whole package for the San Diego Padres this season.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Hi, Jackson.
21 years old.
21.
Love you.
Team leader.
Every hurdle that has been placed in his way, he's not only cleared the hurdle, room to spare. Yep. I mean, the guy is flying down his rookie season. All right, we'll come back. Paulie's got a Rindle report. Emotional moment last night at Snapdragon Stadium. He'll have more on that when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.